Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to have Preds assistant coach Dan Lebert join us at 7:30, getting into the latest of the Nashville Predators with him. Brian Smith from the Houston Chronicle joins us at 9 o'clock. We'll get into Deshaun Watson and that saga going on right now in Houston. Will the Texans actually move on from Deshaun Watson this offseason? We'll discuss that coming up. And then Hal Gill at 9:30, Preds radio analyst, will join us then. So looking forward to all of that coming up here on the show. Right now, getting into the AFC South and a quarterback opening for the Indianapolis Colts. Phillip Rivers retires yesterday after 17 seasons in the NFL, one season spent with the Indianapolis Colts. And, Joe, that leaves a quarterback opening for the Colts on the table. And we talked a little bit yesterday about some potential trade options that the Colts might have, and you threw out Matthew Stafford from Detroit, maybe Matt Ryan from Atlanta being on the table, depending on how the draft goes for the Falcons. And I look around for, if you're a Titans fan and you think about maybe the potential moves coming or potentially coming for the Colts, what would scare you the most? And there are four guys that immediately came to mind for me, and two of them we've mentioned with Stafford and Matt Ryan. There's also been some connections maybe for Carson Wentz going to Indianapolis and also Sam Darnold as well, depending on what the Jets decide to do with the number two pick in the upcoming draft. So I put those four guys on the table as realistic options for the Colts, maybe to execute a trade and bring in a quarterback. We talked yesterday, if Houston decides to move on from Deshaun Watson, I can't imagine that anybody in the division would be on the table on that front. So I'll leave him out of this for the sake of that discussion. So between Stafford, Matt Ryan, Sam Darnold, and Carson Wentz, who scares you the most if you're a Titans fan about maybe being a next quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts?
Yeah, easily Stafford. I don't know. It's hard with Sam Darnold. I think he still could be a good quarterback in this league. You know, it's one of those things. It's just like sometimes we knock down guys because they play with a bunch of talent, some more than others. You know, Ryan Tannehill's with Derrick Henry, and, you know, he can barely complete a pass. But we don't ding Patrick Mahomes, you know, for because we know he's great. Sam Darnold, I don't know that he's bad because he's just been on such a bad team. I really have my questions about Carson Wentz and everything that's gone on there. The injuries, the performance, not to mention, you know, you're talking about, okay, so he's got a $128 million extension that's just about to get started. So you're talking about a $60 million cap hit. I'm sure the Eagles have got to. The one thing about Wentz is, you know, the Eagles are in such a position of weakness with their cap situation, you know, that you could maybe do something where they take on some of it or whatever. I mean, that might be more realistic. And if they had Carson Wentz, hey, who knows? I mean, it changes scenery, get healthy, you're motivated. I mean, I guess I could see that ending up better than Phillip Rivers, but you got to have doubts about him. I think Matt Ryan would be next to me. That would be closer, but Stafford again. And maybe it's because I just know how many players play with the Lions who it's like, man, you guys don't know how good they are. It's just that they're playing for the Lions. I think Matthew Stafford has just a ton of ability. The Lions are at 7 in the draft. You know, do they want to move him? Titans fans better hope not, frankly. Because, I mean, if Matthew Stafford is suddenly the quarterback of the Colts and they don't have to give up the farm for it, that's easily the best team in the AFC South next year.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Plain Joe texts in and says, refresh my memory, didn't the Colts draft a quarterback last year? And they did. Yep. In the fourth round, Jacob Eason was drafted last year. Hey, yep. Look, he's got a gigantic arm. I mean, he's got, yes, a big-time NFL arm. There are other questions about his accuracy, how well can you read defenses. Decision-making at times for Jacob Eason on the field has not been good. So, look, I don't know how the Colts view him. Obviously, you just spent a fourth-round pick on him. It would be difficult for me to believe that Jacob Eason is all of a sudden just going to be the answer for them at quarterback moving forward based on the roster they have. I think that would be a pretty big risk.
Yeah, he's a project. You never say never. I mean, people develop at different rates, and certainly he's there as someone they hope keeps coming. But there, I haven't heard much on the Indy front in terms of, you know, excitement about him maybe really rising up and taking that job. I mean, it doesn't speak well of him that true freshman Jake Fromm comes in and they're like, yeah, actually, we're going to go with this guy. Even though Jake Fromm clearly didn't have the physical talent Jacob Eason had, of course, then again, I mean, Jim Chaney was like, sorry, Justin Fields,
yeah,
my guy, Jake Fromm, look at that three-step drop, that beautiful outcut pattern that he throws. I mean, come on,
we're going with Fromm, Justin Fields.
I know what I'm doing. I'm a genius of offensive football. So, you know, it's some questionable decision-making at Georgia, but it seems like – and Eason did pretty well at Washington. Like you said, Robbie, he's got a big-time arm. But, yeah, I think right now he's a two in this league, and you know, we'll see. They're going to go out and get someone. Jimmy Garoppolo is another one. Our yep. guy, Bob Kravitz, threw out there. By the way, the Athletic is up and running.
Nice. So,
yep, there you go. You know, Kravitz, my buddy Kravitz here, actually throws out Dak Prescott, which is one I would not have guessed, but because I mean, I guess I thought, yeah. And then he writes, it's not going to happen. But hey, I mean, I'm surprised his list does not have Matt Ryan. I mean, I think Matt Ryan is an obvious name to throw out here, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, the Falcons at four, and with their cap situation and everything, I've got to think that hey, you got new coach, new GM, you know. Let's shake things up and have four. You could have Justin Fields. Ooh, I think a lot of teams a few years from now might be looking at, you know, if anybody who didn't take Justin Fields might be regretting it. I think he could be special.
And a lot of that's going to depend on what the Jets do at number two. I mean, obviously everyone expects Trevor Lawrence to be the first pick, but if the Jets, like if they go out and snatch up Justin Fields, what happens with Sam Darnold? Because I agree, like, I don't really know what to make of Sam Darnold at this point because you look at the numbers and they're not good. I mean, there's a lot of interceptions thrown in the mix. I mean, his career, he's got 45 touchdowns and 39 picks. That is not the ratio that you're looking for, and he's had a 59.8 career completion percentage. So there are obviously some accuracy issues going on with Sam Darnold, but it's also you're playing for the Jets. Like how much separation are your receivers getting on the New York Jets?
And Adam Gase.
I mean, it's a fascinating case study with Sam Darnold, who I thought coming out of college, he's got a lot of ability. I like a lot of what I've seen from Sam Darnold, but I have no idea what kind of an NFL quarterback is. And the crazy thing is, I mean, a lot of people are talking about giving up on Sam Darnold. He's 23 years old. I mean, Lewis Riddick went on a rant about this a couple weeks ago about, you know, these young quarterbacks and how quickly people are ready to just move on from them. I think Sam Darnold could be an interesting example of a guy just in the wrong situation. And if he ends up on a roster like the Colts, what could he look like? I mean, I think that's a fascinating question.
Yeah. No, look, there have been some guys who have been giving up on me. Like, apparently Josh Rosen just really stinks.
Apparently, you know? So.
And I, like, in some cases, like, but I'm looking at Tua, for example. It's like, please give the guy a minute here. And I think Darnold, it's obviously he's had some time there, but yeah, when you're in such a bad spot, I just think you've got to you know, see what you have there. Now, of course, Zach Wilson from BYU is a popular mock draft yep. pick for the Jets. If they were to take Fields, would the Falcons want Zach Wilson from BYU? You know, I don't know, but there's so many moving parts when it comes down to from this discussion with the Colts, it's hard for me to imagine that they're not going to end up with a pretty good quarterback. And I understand Rivers numbers were great this year. He was good, but I think there's a good chance they're in a better quarterback situation in 2021 without having to sacrifice too much of their roster.
So we've already seen one quarterback on the move in the AFC South. Could we see another in Houston? We'll discuss that when we come back and introduce our poll question of the day. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning. Preds assistant coach Dan Lambert will join us here in about 13, 14 minutes or so to get to the latest with the Nashville Predators. They've got a road trip coming up heading to Dallas this week, so looking forward to that conversation with Dan Lambert. Right now, talking about the AFC South, and Joe, Phillip Rivers has retired. One quarterback has been on the move. There's a lot of discussion around another one and a high-profile quarterback at that in Houston with Deshaun Watson. And we've heard the rumors. He's unhappy with that organization. He's unhappy with the ownership group in Houston with Cal McNair and was apparently promised some insight and some influence on the next next GM hire that he never got. Found out about the hire of Nick Caserio on social media, and apparently that has been a building kind of volcano of frustration that's built up inside of Deshaun Watson that is apparently boiling over right now. So with that in mind, let's introduce our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Do you believe that the Texans will trade Deshaun Watson this offseason? 209 votes so far. 62% say yes. 38% say no. So pretty good percentage in the yes margin right now on our response that the fans believe Deshaun Watson will be traded by Houston this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I do think this, that when they make a head coaching decision, you're now going to have a totally different voice, not associated with all these people that he obviously can't stand, and I totally get why he can't stand them. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, just go back to the Hopkins for everything. It's just like, what are you trying to do here? But you get a new coach hire in there, and now you have someone to recruit him. And you never know how that might change things. I'm keeping an open mind on that idea that when they do make this coach hire, it's going to be an absolute throw. Hey, you know what? Like, hey, I hate the suits too, Deshaun. Come on, me and you, let's do this together. Forget them. They're paying you your money. Don't even talk to him. Let's go win a championship. I could see that working possibly, but in the meantime, I mean, it's fantasy football out there projecting all these possible trades. You know, one of the best trades are Mike Sando throughout all these possibilities, and Matt Stafford is a one exec. He's quoting execs anonymously, said he likes that deal the best of the possibles out there. For Matt Stafford to go to Houston, and then, you know, you're talking about, I mean, in this fantasy scenario, a couple firsts and a second going back to the Texans from the Lions.
God bless Deshaun Watson, if that's the case.
Don't do it to the guy. Don't do it to the guy. You know, I will say this, too. I mean, if that were to happen, obviously, look, if you're a Titans fan, if you're the Titans and Deshaun Watson is somewhere else, then you stand up and applaud. But if, like, the Texans got Stafford, you know, at 32, and then they got the number 7 pick, and then they got a first round and a second round next year, you're still not, like, you know, I mean, they're not necessarily dead and buried. They could be pretty good, too.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Matt Stafford is not Deshaun Watson, but Matt Stafford's still a pretty good quarterback in this league. And look, I mean, we talked about him maybe going to Indy. Maybe he goes to Houston, too. Like, I have a hard time seeing Deshaun Watson waving his no-trade clause and saying, yeah, I'll go to Detroit, because I think that would be not a very attractive situation for him. But, you know, we've seen it. Maybe he's just that ready to get out of Houston. I mean, the frustration seems to be boiling over. And if there is a deal made, obviously, I mean, it's going to be a monster deal in the NFL. And Mike Greenberg from ESPN talked about just the scope of the deal and what it would take for Deshaun Watson to be traded and the magnification, the implications of that around the league. Here's what Mike Greenberg had to say.
This will be the biggest trade in NFL history. When you consider who Watson is, what he is, and where he is in his career, there has never been a trade as meaningful as this. So you can completely remake your team in one fell swoop. So as devastating as trading away a great player like Deshaun is, the fact that you have the ability with all the years left on his contract to get as much back as you can means you're not in a position of absolutely zero leverage. So my first option would be to say to him, you tell me, Deshaun, what do I do to make you want to stay here? Help me help you. And if ultimately the answer comes back, there is no conceivable way, well, then you have, I guess, until April to figure out a trade, and you should be getting back exactly what I just heard Mike Tannenbaum saying as you were introducing me. Three number ones and one or two other really good young players, and you remake your roster on the fly, and you see where you go from there.
So that was Mike Greenberg from ESPN. So what do you think it would take to get Deshaun Watson? If you're a team like Miami, like the Jets that Charles Robinson talked about the other day, a team that would be interested in Deshaun Watson, what do you think the package would take in order to get his services?
Yeah, I mean, it's hefty, you know, it's hefty. I'm looking through these things. You're talking lots of picks to me. Like if all that happened, I think Greenberg makes total sense there. You know, like at some point it's like, dude, what can we do? You know, but to me, if it ends up just, there's just no way. I mean, you have to, I'm not doing this if I'm the Texans just for picks, excuse me, and other players. I've got to have a proven quarterback come back. Now, what do you think of Tua? Because obviously, I mean, it's been thrown out there through Watson's people that he likes that situation. He would certainly waive it for them, right? But do you feel good enough about Tua? Like in this Sando fantasy deal, it's Tua, the number three pick, which is pretty sweet, in this draft, a first in 2022 and a second in 2023. I like Stafford because I know that dude can play. Jimmy Garoppolo, what is that enough? No. Well, now look at this deal. What if it's Garoppolo and Bosa? Mm. I think I might be liking that one. I mean, you know, because I don't love Jimmy G, and you're taking a pretty big step back at QB. You know, pretty big. But if you got him, Bosa, the number 12 pick in this draft, and then another, you know, one next year. It's pretty good. But again, it's like, I mean, look, what do people do in this league? All they do, they spend all their time, all their waking moments trying to find a franchise quarterback. I just don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is quite that level. You know, I don't know. It's hard with him because he's been so banged up and everything. And at times I think he's really good, but I think back to the Super Bowl and a couple throws he missed that you just can't miss, and they would have won the game otherwise. I don't know. I really like the idea of Stafford, because you know he can play. Darnold and the Jets and a whole bunch of picks. Does that get you excited? You're still, you know, you're taking a big step back. I mean, you're taking a step back either way in terms of like long-term potential from someone who, you know, could be an all-time great. But at least like with a Stafford, I mean, that guy's coming in and throwing for 4,000 yards right now.
Yeah, I just can't believe and continue to struggle to believe that Houston's going to let it get to that point. Like, surely at some point along the way here, and I realize the fact that it hasn't happened yet is very alarming, but at some point, if you're Cal McNair, don't you have to look around and be like, all right, guys like this don't just walk through the door every day. Like you said, it's so hard to find a franchise quarterback. This is an elite quarterback. I mean, you're talking about a top five quarterback in the NFL. In Deshaun Watson and how good he is and how good he's going to be for the next 10 years. Like, I still find it hard to believe that they're going to let it get to the point where they've got to trade it. Now, maybe, who knows, maybe the damage is already done and there's nothing they could do at this point, like Greenberg said, and he's just done and he wants out. And if that's the case, if I'm a Houston Texans fan, I'm looking around and looking for somebody else to root for. If you've screwed it up this bad, where you've got, first off, and Bill O'Brien was his own thing. I get that. He never should have been allowed to be the GM in the first place. But you trade DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best players in the league, and then a year later, if you allow this mess to build up to the point where you lose Deshaun Watson, I don't know how, if you're a Houston Texans fan, you continue to root for that place just based on the ineptitude of letting two players like that walk out the door. I mean, it would just be unbelievable to me that they would allow that to happen. So I just did Joe Rexroth leave himself on mute? He hadn't done it in a while. I knew that there was something going on. It had gotten to the point where I didn't know if Rexroth would do that anymore.
That was weird. I swear I did not voluntarily mute myself.
Uh-huh.
And yet I was muted. What is going on with my computer?
Sure.
I just thought I made a really good point and Joe had nothing to say.
No. I had a really good point to add on to your point, and I've forgotten it.
Oh, good.
Here's my point. Here's my point. If it turns out that like all you had to do was fire Jack Easterby, you know, and I don't know if that's the case, but that's what Texans fans think, you know, like fire Jack Easterby and he'll be fine. But I mean, like seriously, I mean, it's worth a shot, right? if this is about, you know, this VP you've brought in, I mean, who cares? Well, what are you doing? I think it's deeper than that. Again, I think it comes down to a trust thing with Cal McNair and Watson. And obviously Cal McNair has botched this. And of course you can't fire the owner.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
So maybe there's just no way to reconcile this. But yes, I agree with you. You know, the Titans will take on more Houston football fans if they'd like to cheer for the team that used to play in Houston.
That's right. When we come back, we'll get into the latest with the Nashville Predators. Preds assistant coach Dan Lambert joining us coming up. This is Robbie and Rexroth here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroth here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroth, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Nashville Predators about to embark on their first road trip of the year, heading to Dallas to take on the Stars. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Preds assistant coach Dan Lambert. Dan, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us.
Well, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, Dan, three games in, obviously didn't have to play the other night against Carolina. Everybody was disappointed that game was postponed. But what have you liked about your group the most through the first three games?
Well, you know what? I thought the first game we played against Columbus, we were ready to go against a team that's really hard to play against, and we did a good job of competing and just showing up in a high quality way. And then our second game, we weren't crazy about our game, even though we got the results. And then against Carolina, you know, a team that is, you know, possibly picked to finish, you know, in the top two in our division, very hard opponent. Probably played our best game of the season, and then we didn't get the results. Funny how the game goes sometimes, but you know, overall we've been pretty satisfied with just the way the guys have practiced, and it seems like every day they come to work and they want to get better.
Dan, I know everyone's got to be ready for things like this week to happen, and it's no surprise at all, but how tough is that for you and the, you know, the staff and the guys when you feel like you played well and you know you're going to get another shot at that team the next night, and then it doesn't happen and it's going to be a while before you get on the ice for another game?
Yeah, you know what? Obviously, it's different times for everyone, and they are, you know, it does bring up different challenges. I think we were certainly ready for the challenge of repeating against a good team, and it didn't happen, so we took advantage of the time, and we're getting good practice time. So I think you got to take advantage of the situation and just move on.
Dan, obviously Philip Forsberg off to a great start this year, three goals in three games, and he's been a force in all three zones so far for you guys. What do you like about the way that Philip is playing right now, and what do you think's allowed him to be so successful right out of the gate?
Well, I think Phil has, you know, he's playing with a lot of power first and foremost. I think he's been skating. He's been really strong on the puck, and I think his play away from the puck has been good as well. Obviously, when you give him a couple opportunities, you know, he's got the confidence right now, and he's been able to put it in the back of the net. He's got one of the best releases in the NHL, and he's certainly showing that, you know, over the beginning of the season.
Dan, one line that it's impossible to not notice to me is that Matt Duchene line so far. And I mean, him in particular, but really that line as a whole. And I know that we're probably going to see some different combinations there. You know, Granlund's coming back at some point. But what have you thought in particular about Duchene and those guys and what they've been able to do in three games?
Well, I mean, Luke Cunningham did find the back of the net a couple times, and that's always positive. When you look at the line, you're talking about players that have never played together and didn't have a full training camp together either. And I think there's certainly a little bit of kinks in their line, but I think, you know, as a whole, when you look at the players and the possibilities, I think you've got speed, you've got grit, and certainly the ability to score. So whether they stay together or not, that's, I guess, time will tell. But, I think it is a line that when you look at last game, I mean, Matt had some great opportunities to score. It just didn't go in. So I think once those chances start going in the back of the net, it's going to change everybody's perspective of that line and how things are going.
Preds assistant coach Dan Lambert on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Dan, we had Duchesne on with us yesterday, and he just talked about the vibe in the room right now, how it's, you know, kind of a louder room than it was last year, more laughs going on, just more, you know, back and forth conversation. And, you know, he said he wasn't taking a shot at anything last year, but it just felt different. Have you seen that? Have you sensed that being around the guys this year, that there's just a different vibe with this group? And do you think that's translated on the ice so far through three games?
Yeah, I really do. I think we've brought in some great character people, and you think of Borowicki, who's every day is a great day. He's the hardest working guy, you know, every day in practice. He competes hard. Brad Richardson, also a proven winner, a guy that competes very hard, even though he's older. I mean, he's a great example every single day. And the list goes on. Nick Cousins, a great character player. So I think the type of guys that we brought in, they do have, I guess, more of a boisterous voice in the room, and they like to have fun, and they like to compete. So it's a nice mix.
Dan, obviously a different kind of year here. A lot of back-to-backs, but certainly, back-to-backs in terms of who you're playing the same teams all year long. It feels like a year that if you have two goaltenders that you really trust and you feel like you have a 1A, 1B, that could be a real advantage for you. What do you think so far about your goaltenders? And do you think that, you guys could have an edge here just having two guys like that available?
Yeah, I mean, you look, obviously Pekka Rinne is a legend, and the way he played against Carolina, I thought he made some huge saves at key times and certainly gave us a chance to win that hockey game. Juice has been really, really good in the first two games he's played. So we feel really comfortable with both goalies. We know that either guy could run with the ball for a while. It's just because of the schedule, we are going to need them both throughout the season, and we feel real good about the tandem that we have.
Dan, it seems from the outside looking in that the movement on the power play, particularly from that top unit, has been really good so far, and you finally break through the other night with Arvidsson's goal. What have you seen out of the power play so far?
Yeah, you know, kind of the same. It seems like the guys are in a really good place mentally. They feel confident. We've had tons of opportunities again to score, and we just, like you said, we broke through the other night. We really hope that it's just one of those things that now it's gonna get rolling and start finishing some of our opportunities. But it certainly is a unit that's dangerous. And then I'm really happy with I don't know if I want to call them the second unit, but the Ekholm unit. I just feel like they've been moving the puck around as well, and they're gelling. It's pretty much a whole new unit. So taking a little bit of time here, but they've looked really good as well. So we're confident with the pieces we have moving forward.
Dan, last thing for you here. I mean, there's obviously this offseason, there was a lot of talk about Ryan Johansson and just the game that he's got to bring to the table every night for you guys. And John Hines has talked about it a lot as well. What have you seen from Johansson so far on that aspect in terms of the competitiveness and the buy-in in all three zones? What have you seen out of Ryan thus far?
Well, I think Ryan's looked really good. The other day I saw a stat, he had the second most chances for scoring opportunity wise, and that's a real positive. That means he's in the right places. He's shooting the puck. He's and that's really important. His 200-foot game has been very good so far, and it's something that he's got to continue and that we need as a group. So, you know, I think we're happy with Ryan's play so far, and not only that, but again, his practice habits have been really good, and you know, nothing but great things to say right now, and we just got to stick with it.
Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Dan, really appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us, and good luck coming up this weekend in Dallas.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a great morning.
Absolutely. You as well. And Joe, an interesting matchup this weekend. Dallas has not yet played. They had 17 players test positive for COVID to begin the season. So they've just now been on the ice the last few days and have not played a game up until this point. So, number one, it's going to be very interesting to see what Dallas looks like when they come out. They're not going to have Tyler Seguin to begin the season either, but obviously a big rivalry, and we've talked about the new rivalries that the Preds are going to have this year in the division. This one is not new. There's still a lot of hatred, I think a lot of bad blood between these two teams. Very interested to see this matchup this weekend, both on Friday and on Sunday for the Preds against the Stars.
Yeah, when it comes down to it, like, thank goodness, you know, that you've got the Stars still. I mean, to me, it stinks that, like, we're not going to get to see him play the Blues, you know?
Yeah.
Not going to see him play the Avs. But, you know, Chicago and Dallas will keep some of those old rivalries stoked. And, yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how the Stars come out after what they've gone through. I could see it. I could see that being good or bad for them right away here.
Yeah, and Mark Borowiecki, Preds defenseman, talked about that a little bit yesterday. Like, if you're the Preds and you waltz into this game thinking that, you know, they hadn't played yet, their timing's not down yet, and they've got to find their game, if you're the Stars, then you're probably not going to like the result at the end of the day. So if the Preds play the way they've played the first three games, I like their chances against Dallas this weekend. I do think it's a lot to ask, you know, trying to catch a moving train for Dallas to begin the season. So we'll see how that goes beginning tomorrow for the Dallas Stars. When we come back, I want to touch on a little bit of what we talked about there with Dan Lambert, and that is the vibe in this room. We heard Matt Duchene talk about it when he joined us for his weekly visit yesterday. Do we sense that different vibe, and how much of a difference do we think that's made on the ice? We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in every weekday morning on Preds Game Day at 8:45 this season for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45, so make sure you're listening for that. Preds taking on the Dallas Stars tomorrow in Dallas. And if you call in at 8:45, you'll have an opportunity to guess the goal scorer in that game. Our participants have done very well thus far in this competition.
By the way, our participant from Tuesday is going to still qualify for tomorrow night, and yes, we'll have another listener. So, I believe Seth picked Matt Duchene.
That is correct.
On Tuesday morning, that game got postponed, so his pick for Matt Duchene will still be valid for this game tomorrow night, and we'll have another listener pick as well.
Very nice. And speaking of Matt Duchene joined us yesterday for his weekly visit that he has with us here on the show, and had some very interesting comments yesterday about the room, about the vibe around this team, and how it just feels different this year. Here's what Matt Duchene had to say.
You know, whether they're bringing something a little different on the ice, or and I'm definitely not throwing shade at guys that we had here last year. I mean, I loved our group last year. We had a really good group of guys, but it was a quieter group. I think it was just, you know, guys are more reserved, maybe introverts or whatever. And we brought in guys that are more like, I guess, bring that energy outwardly in the room. And pretty much almost every guy that we've brought in is you know, a pretty outgoing guy. Boro and I played together in Ottawa, and he's got a great personality. He's really funny. Just a happy, happy dude. Brad Richardson, kind of wily vet. He brings definitely some juice to the room. Nick Cousins, same thing. All same thing, outgoing guy. So I just find we have some liveliness in the room, and I think it complements the guys that we have left over from last year. And I just feel like we're playing like it right now. We're playing together. We're playing as a team. When guys, you know, make a mistake or whatever, we're picking them up and saying, "Hey, no worries." And we're not letting it affect us. Last year, I mean, that Columbus, that second Columbus game was our worst game so far this year, and we probably didn't deserve to win that one. But last year we would have lost it badly because we would have probably, we just wouldn't have had the mental toughness to get through, and we were a little bit fragile as a group last year just with everything going on. And this year we were able to, you know, have a huge third period and pull it out. So sometimes you win games you don't deserve to, and I love the vibe of it. There's no panic in our game, and it's fun. It's just a fun atmosphere to be around.
So that was Preds center Matt Duchesne, who joins us every week here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Two Rivers Ford and Gary Ashton Remax Advantage. And Joe, some very interesting comments from Duchesne there about the room, how there's a different vibe this year, how it's a little bit looser, a little bit louder in there, and there's just more energy that's translating on the ice. I thought that was very interesting yesterday, and you know, I think if you're a Preds fan, you wonder like, okay, so who is out that was just like this quiet church mouse, as you put it yesterday, and not bringing energy to the room. And it's not necessarily a shot that anybody that's gone, but it is interesting that this group seems to have a little bit more energy to them, both on the ice and in the locker room, like Duchesne was talking about there.
Okay, but still, who are we talking about?
Yeah, you know, that Kyle Turris, he never said anything. He was just over there in the corner, mad at Peter Laviolette the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're going by, like, media, you know, this is where it's, you know, sometimes, like, for example, okay, let's go to the Titans. You know, like, Derrick Henry, if you were talking from a media perspective, you know, really doesn't like talking to us, very quiet, says as little as possible, but that's not how he is in the room, quote unquote, right? So a guy like that, to me, like Craig Smith hated, I don't know, Craig Smith liked like D-Mac, you know, but Craig Smith did not like doing interviews at all. Like, it was like, please leave me alone and go away. But was that how he was in the room too? I don't know. But I mean, yeah, you automatically go to that. But of course, like Matt was saying, this is probably more about who did you bring in who has a big personality. Also, you know, Austin Watson had a big personality, yeah, by the way, and is gone. But it's pretty obvious. I've got to think that Cousins, and all, this entire season, we'll have no clue because we won't be in there. But I've got to think Cousins, based on what I'm seeing from him on the ice, probably has a lot to say at all times.
Yes. Yeah, I would think that is true. You know, I think some fans maybe hear what Duchesne says there, and they think, okay, well, he's just, you know, he's saying what he needs to say about this group, and you know, everything's always better with the group that you're in the moment, and it's easy to look back and kind of and talk about how different things are. And so, you know, look, I buy into that too to a certain degree, but I will say this is not just Duchesne saying stuff like this. Like, we played a clip from Ellis last week talking about training camp and getting through training camp and how, you know, everybody bought in this year and nobody was complaining. And now you hear that the vibe in the locker room from Duchesne is just different, and it's a lot easier in there, happy-go-lucky, and the energy's translating on the ice. It does make you wonder what was going on in that room the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think one thing that happens a lot in sports is you talk about, like, culture, you talk about the locker room, and it's very much a chicken and egg discussion,
right?
On, you know, I think a lot of times if you're playing well, then that helps your locker room be better. And you could have the greatest collection of guys in the world, and if it isn't working out for you on the field or the court or the ice, at some point, like, the culture isn't as good because people hate to lose, you know? So I thought one of all the things that Matt said there, and you're right, Robbie, a lot of people would be like, yeah, okay, great. You know, three games in, but the no panic in the game stood out to me a little bit, you know, because I mean, I just think last year that seemed like a team that, because it wasn't playing as well and some things were going wrong and it just didn't seem to have that right, that mental fortitude you need, that probably spilled over into the room. And obviously it ended up manifesting itself in a coach being fired, which happens in this league more than any other league. And probably a different voice there was needed. But I think, you know, this will continue if these guys continue to play well. I understand that having a good locker room also can lead to playing well, but I think people don't look at it the other way enough.
I would agree. Yeah, and look, I think sometimes that gets overblown, but I do think this group needed a shot in the arm. And, you know, you talked about, you know, the new guys that they brought in. And look, I mean, let's be honest here. You know, bringing in Luke Kunin, Nick Cousins, Brad Richardson, Mark Borowiecki, Matt Benning, like some of the pieces that they brought in. If you're a casual hockey fan and you're interested in offense, I mean, those are not names that are going to get you fired up. Like, that's not Kyle Turris. That's not some of the other names we've seen them bring in here. That's not James Neal. I mean, they brought in some higher-profile players before, but they've also brought in some higher-profile players before that haven't worked out. I do like the balance with this group. Now, I still have a lot of questions offensively if they can keep up. And you heard Matt Duchene talk about that also a little bit yesterday, that there's still another level or two that they need to hit offensively. And I think that's going to be the question with this team all season long. Do they have enough depth offensively at the forward spot to really compete in this division? But I do like the balance. Like, it was pretty obvious last year when you got down, or if you were playing against a team that was really physical and did a good job of keeping you to the outside. I mean, the Preds had no answer for that. They couldn't get inside. I mean, you had Forsberg that could get in there. Arvidsson was hurt most of last year. His speed was a non-factor. And, you know, Turris, he's a really good player. I still think Turris has a chance to go on in the NHL and continue to be a productive player. But he couldn't get inside. Like, there was just a pretty obvious weakness with this team. And I've been impressed by what I've seen through the first three games from that standpoint. I think physically they're more engaged in the battle. They're winning more pucks along the boards. And I do think they're playing faster. I don't know how much of a difference there is in terms of the team speed that they have this year. But I have noticed just the playing faster part of it this year. And that's not always speed. Sometimes that's decision-making, and that's moving the puck where you're supposed to move it on time. And they've been pretty good in that area for the most part. But I do think that the balance of this group is much different, and that's got a chance to pay off for them in the end, I think.
Yeah, that's a good point. And if you want to, you know, take it to the, you know, the personality slash locker room discussion, I mean, a key guy there, I mean, a key guy on every front is Ryan Johansson.
Yep.
And Ryan Johansson certainly has one of the biggest personalities in that room. And you think about last year, you know, he's struggling. People are talking about him. What's going on with Johansson? Are the Preds going to trade him, et cetera, et cetera? That's, you know, inevitably probably going to limit, like, the impact he can have with that personality when he's trying to figure out his own game and everything. So he's playing well to me, and that probably also translates in that way too.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%, and we'll see how the Predators continue to respond with their first road trip coming up this weekend. They'll take on the Dallas Stars on Friday and again on Sunday, the first action of the season for the Dallas Stars. So the Preds right back at it starting tomorrow on the ice. When we come back, theathletic.com is back up and running, and Joe Rexroad has got a new story out about Tennessee, its coaching job, and how it's viewed by other coaches around the nation. We'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.